Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by The Garden Grocery, your online grocery store. For all your Disney grocery needs, they will deliver to any of the fine Disney resorts. Contact Garden Grocer at thegardengrocer.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in a deluxe resort at reduced prices, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. Show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area for any of their Orlando attraction, contact Elite at elitevacationhomes.com. And you can find all of our fine sponsors on our website at It's All In WDW. So come on, guys, let's hop on the train, head over to the pub, and we'll talk to you soon.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, John. Hey, John, pull up a stool.
Good rainy morning to you, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing so good that I feel like I swallowed a whole bowl full of pollen.
All right.
Dude, it's a cold, it's allergies, it's both, but you know what I went through in my throat the last couple of years, so every time I get sore throats or issues or, you know, coughing and stuff like that, I get stressed out, and I started losing my voice again yesterday. But it's these allergies, man. Everything seems fine, but it's just these allergies up here are so bad. We've had like 2 weeks of rain. It's ridiculous. So I apologize, guys. I'm gonna sound like CRA, you put the last letter in the whole show, and John, your golden pipes are gonna have to lead the way.
I think we can handle that.
Yeah, well, it show should be better with you leading most of it.
Well, I don't know. You know, the ranting means rating and all that good stuff, and I'm not nearly as as agitated as you are at times. But
what?
I think we'll be okay.
I never get upset.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, I loved how you tried to fire me up. Pat and all the guys were the Pat from the Mickey Dudes podcast. Sending out that self-checkout picture and all that stuff. That was wonderful of you guys. That was up.
We're just trying to keep those fires burning.
Yeah, I was up 30 feet in the air on a man lift ready to blow a stack when I seen that one. You know. But it's the truth, John. We are working ourselves out of jobs. So every time you guys think of that, remember that.
Yeah, that's the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the other truth is I'm going to be muting this 20 times, so you make sure you talk. No dead air today, John.
All right. Sounds good. I'll do my best.
I'm the one that usually keeps the dead air from coming into the show. But anyway, our friend Sean from the Tiki Talk podcast, I think he's going to join us next Sunday for the news, John.
All right. Great. That sounds good.
And used to play nice. No battling.
Okay, yeah. Me and Sean, yeah, we're always going at each other. I think maybe it's you two guys.
Yeah, another guy from Jersey, go figure.
Yeah. Well, speaking of other podcasts, I ran into, or Derek from the Grim Grinning Guys ran into me yesterday at the trains and stopped and said hi, and I met him and his wife and his small baby, and they were very nice people, and nice to meet them, and just nice to meet more people from the Disney community. Everybody seemed so friendly and nice. It was a good time.
Yeah. So you're recording right now at the Animal Kingdom, and you're going to be driving the train today, aren't you? Well, hopefully the train.
I'm sitting in the parking lot, and it's pretty much pouring right now, and it looks like it's going to be all day. So, yeah, it's going to be a glorious, glorious time. So.
Yeah. And speaking of our buddy Sean, did you see him? I'm looking forward to talking to him next week, too. It seems like everybody slowly but surely is joining Doug on the crybaby party, all the parties deal.
Yeah. I mean, like I was telling you off the air, you know, everybody can say it's one thing, this or that, but until it affects your vacation, until, you know, you're there and you can't go to the Magic Kingdom one night because you had stuff scheduled and all of a sudden you can't do it. Well, then it makes a big difference, you know. And you being a travel agent, you realize what it does mean to these bunches of different people rather than just yourself. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and Sean's an agent too, so you know what I mean? He should, you know, I mean, and it wasn't that he was ever against it as far as that, but it's going to affect his vacation. I feel bad for him because there's a party. He's, if you look at his schedule, he's basically 4 or 5 nights he can't go late.
Yeah, that stinks, man.
You know, big time. So. And like I said, one of the favorite things of all of me and Brenda's trips are, and I know you and Lisa probably used to love this too. I mean, you do Epcot more than any other park. But one of me and Brenda's favorite things to do when we were down on our trips was go back to the room, hang out for a few hours, and then go back to the Magic Kingdom some nights, 8, 9 o'clock, and stay till midnight, 1 in the morning during the summer hours. Now that's no longer there for you in the summer because of all these when the parties start. And all these special parties, not even the Halloween and all, with these after-hour parties and these 3-hour parties. It's all bullcrap.
Yeah, I mean, August and September, it's blazingly hot here. So having that opportunity to go back to the room in the middle of the afternoon and then get back out to the Magic Kingdom at 7, 8 o'clock, and then being able to stay when it's dark and, 20 degrees cooler means a great deal to people coming at that time of year. And unfortunately, there's going to be several days you just can't do that because of the amount of parties they have scheduled.
Yeah, there used to be many nights where me and Brenda would stroll out of the park late because I don't know if you remember, John, like, and you do, I know you do, but back in the late 90s, early 2000s, if you stayed to the park till midnight, 1 o'clock, that's when things weren't even crowded like they are now.
You'd go strolling down
Main Street not by yourself, but you had that where you could stick your arms out and spin like a helicopter and not even come close to anybody, if you follow me. You had space. And you could roam around out front, take pictures in front of the railroad station, the Mickey flowers, all that stuff. Those days are gone, man.
Well, yeah, because even if you happen to be there on a night that it is not a party night and it is open late, you're still going to have everybody else doing the same thing. So it's going to be extremely crowded. So even if you have the opportunity to get over there, it's going to have, 3 or 4 times as many people as you remember from back at that time you're talking about. So.
Yeah, it's very aggravating. And like not our last trip, the trip before we were down there, it was going to Christmas time. It was 4 out of 6 nights the Magic Kingdom had a party. Now, I mean, come on. That's a problem, and it's a big time problem. And if you don't get to see the fireworks and all that, I think it's wrong. The whole deal. You should be able to close the park multiple nights if you want to, especially if you have kids. That's the park you want to be at.
Yep, sure is, and it's a shame, and I don't see it stopping. So.
No, well, we have to put it. Yeah, it ain't going to stop unless the fans or the people who go there stop buying those tickets. But everybody, the people can't help themselves.
Yeah.
Because I know I'll never buy one. Just out of principle. It's kind of like I got in a fight the other day at work. Just, me with my stupid principles. A guy was arguing me, we were talking about, we hit the lottery and cars and all that stuff. And I was talking about Jay Leno, how he owns like 175 cars, and I just don't comprehend that. I'd rather give 100 cars away to people that need it to get back and forth to work. I'd have a few nice ones, but I don't understand 175. But that's just me. I'm not saying he's wrong. But there's certain things where I would not do it just out of principle. Like if I hit the lottery, I'd buy myself a couple cars that I truly love, if you follow me, and I'd be done with it. Pickup truck, and I'm good. I'd rather help out. I'd rather do help with Habitat for Humanity or help other people survive than make myself just like, I guarantee you, John, if I hit that lottery, you can mark this down. I will not be buying Club 33. It won't happen. I'd rather give that money that would cost Club 33 and give like 100 kids annual passes that can't afford them.
There you go. Or then you get your house at Golden Oak and you won't have to worry about Club 33. So.
Yeah, well, that would be a major thought there. I mean, I'd love that. But you get my point, John. It's just – and that would be me with the parties anymore. I wouldn't go just out of principle now. They are beautiful.
I don't
beautiful.
Know. Lisa really wants to go to one, so I might get dragged to one this year, but we'll see. So.
Yeah, well, I hear you. I've seen them, but I don't think I'll be going to any more anytime soon. They need
yeah,
to stop it.
Yeah, we've never been to one of them, so.
Yeah, especially August 15th. Come on, Disney. I mean, and that's where I think Pat, because he's a school teacher, and all the school teachers should be complaining. That's like Mike Rahman when before he retired and moved on. But the only time him and his family could go down is during the summertime months. And I don't understand how I listen to Be Our Guest podcast, and I never hear any of them complain. Like, that's the hours when Mike always used to have to go, was summertime, because of being a teacher. And now that whole month of August, you ain't allowed at the Magic Kingdom unless you're buying tickets at the end.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And it isn't even just the Halloween party. It's also the those extra hour tickets. I mean, would you buy one of them, John,
those.
For
they
3 hours?
Yeah, they have the Christmas party. They get lots and lots of things for you to spend your money on. So,
yeah.
And kind of scam out the other regular visitor. But
anyway, I'm scammed out. So you start, why don't you read the first bit of news, the annual pass holder exclusive?
All right. Looks over at over at Hollywood Studios. They're going to have a couple of exclusive offerings, May 18th through June 29th. First up is a double discount at Hollywood and Vine, which means 20% off of breakfast, lunch, or dinner instead of just the 10%. And at Walt Disney Presents, there is a pass holder exclusive viewing of The Incredibles 2. And that's from 9 to 10 a.m. every morning. Mickey's of Hollywood, Celebrity 5 and 10, Keystone Clothiers, and Once Upon a Time. They will all be selling Toy Story Land Magic Band to have pass to your annual pass holders before it goes on sale to all guests on June 30th. And lastly, pass holders can get a Donald Duck Summer Magnet gift at Mickey's of Hollywood, Celebrity 5 and 10. Keystone Clothiers, and Once Upon a Time or Walt Disney Presents. It seems like this is becoming a thing now with these magnets that they give, or, yeah, they pretty much, I guess you're paying for it in one way, shape, or form. You're paying for your annual pass. But now it seems like once every season or so, they're giving away a magnet that you can go pick up at Hollywood Studios. There was a Christmas Mickey one. There's a spring one out now, so it looks like Donald's going to be for the summer. So.
Anything they give you like that, I think it's cool. It's a nice little keepsake. I won't trash them for that. I'm just curious if it's going to be there after Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land opens. They're no longer going to be trying to get you to traipse over to the Hollywood Studios anymore. It's kind of it's a good thing they're doing it, but I kind of think they're doing it to get butts in the park.
That would be the exactly the thing. Yeah, I was talking to a couple of guests yesterday, and they're not even – I mean, they're down here for a week, and they're not even going to Hollywood Studios. They have a small kid or a small child, and, I mean, there's really, what, Disney Junior for them to do over there, and that's about it, right? Maybe Toy Story. That's about it for your small children at that park right now, so –
No, I hear you. I mean, especially like you said, with Toy Story Midway Mania, if you're there the days that that's closed, you got nothing in that park for youngins. I mean, because even that, you can't be too young. You have to be a little old enough to understand it and to be able to have fun with it. But you're not going to put them on Tower or Rock and Roller Coaster, and that's about it. Unless if they're Star Wars fans.
Yeah, and if they're that small, you know, if they're 2 or 3, I mean, you can't really even do that. So, yeah, I think, I don't know, they were coming to Animal Kingdom twice, Epcot twice, and Magic Kingdom twice. So.
Yeah, unlike you and Lisa, Epcot 5 times, one other park once.
Well, Epcot 5 times, and then every evening. So.
Are you going to be at any other park on your trip in a couple weeks?
I've got all 4 parks planned, and I actually have a Disney Springs day planned, too. Yeah, we ended up getting 3 nights at because of the discount, the annual pass or the cast member discount on the resorts for the summer. We added 3 nights to our vacation, so now we're staying 3 nights at Port Orleans French Quarter, which will be the first time we've ever stayed there, and 5 nights at Boardwalk. So we've got quite a trip coming up. Really looking forward to it. So.
You're almost going to be as highfalutin as Judith.
Oh man, I'm living large, aren't I?
Yes, you are. Nah, dude, I'm looking forward to hearing your review on French Quarter. I love French Quarters. I love that resort. Nice and quiet.
Yeah, we stayed at Port Orleans or Riverside several times, but this will be the first time that we're over at French Quarter. So it looks like we're going to have a really good vacation. We're going to be celebrating my wife's birthday, my son's graduation. So, yeah, it's a really big trip coming. So.
Happy birthday, Lisa.
Yep, right around the corner.
So. I sound like Peter Brady from the Brady Bunch. Don't I?
Yeah, it did crack a little bit there. So.
Nah, it keeps cracking. I'm between Peter Brady and Mickey Mouse right now. It's very, very sad, but I'm okay with it. We had to do a show. If I didn't do a show, well, three people, maybe about 10 people would have cared, John. They'd have got mad at us.
You know, Judith would have. So.
Yeah, Judith and Carmen and Robbie and, you know, Sean likes the show to pick on us and a few of the Mickey do. I mean, you know. There would have been a lot of guys upset, but I think they're going to be more upset hearing this stupid voice this week.
Keep them entertained.
Quick question. Did you watch The Royal Wedding, John? Did you tape it?
I skipped right out on that.
My wife and my mother-in-law got up at 5 in the morning and watched the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. I don't get it, but they enjoyed it, so I was happy for them.
Yeah. I mean, I think Lisa was going to watch the highlights or something. I don't know. It's definitely not my cup of tea. So,
no pun intended, right?
Your cup exactly, of tea. So.
But no, I mean, the real question is Lisa going to go to any other park on this vacation? So guys, sit back and wait for the reviews of the trips, and we'll let you know. I don't think you're going to see any other park.
Oh, we're going to other parks. Like I said, we even have, especially staying at French Quarter, we have a full day at Disney Springs planned. We're going to go see the Han Solo movie and maybe even go bowl a game or two. So.
And maybe get some of that sushi that Bob raves about at Splitsville.
I'm thinking about that, but right now we have reservations at Homecoming. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about that. That ought to be very good. You're
going to
enjoy that.
I've heard
really
good things about that. And looking at the prices, that's a lot closer to my wheelhouse than Boathouse. So.
Yeah, you're a land lover, John.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I've heard really good things about all the Florida decor and stuff like that and how most of the food is locally sourced and all that kind of stuff. So it's I'm anticipating that quite a bit. So.
No, it's very good. Food, you're going to enjoy yourself.
Good deal.
But anyway, you want to get on to the next topic, next news story?
Sure. And it looks like Walt Disney Presents at the Hollywood Studios is going to be showing the sneak peek of The Incredibles 2 through June 29th. Yeah, like we said, only annual pass holders can see it between 9 and 10. And then after 10, I guess it's open for regular guests. So they're going to show the first full 10 minutes of the movie.
That sounds like
more than a sneak peek, right?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I got to go. Dude, I'd have to go right to the Disney Springs and see the end of it if I seen the first 10 minutes. You know what I mean? I'd be like, whoa, what happened? The camera shut off?
Yeah, I mean, that's long enough for you to get into it, you know? What's going to happen now? So.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see it. I enjoy those little previews at that One Man's Dream, but or Walt Disney's Presents now. But 10 minutes straight, I mean, usually they skip through it or take an excerpt out of the middle, or you know what I'm saying? They don't show you the first 10 minutes. I mean, really, I would seriously consider about headed over to Springs to see the end of it then. Maybe that's what they're hoping for.
I would imagine so. Yeah, if they're going to show that much of it, they're hoping to get that hook set where you're going to have to find out what happens. So, and it must be a good first 10 minutes, so it must be pretty exciting and pretty set the story up, you know what I mean? So.
And now we just spoke about our highfalutin friend Judith. New after the fireworks dessert party coming to the Magic Kingdom. You seen this one, John?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
The Magic Kingdom fireworks dessert party is expanding to include a new after the fireworks party, priced at $69 for adults, $41 for children. The party offers viewing of the fireworks from the Plaza Gardens, followed by a dessert party in Tomorrowland Terrace. Reservation can be made at 407 WDW Dine for nights beginning on May 28, 2018. and an ad had a pop-up. May 28th will also see a new menu, including more savory snacks such as spinach dip and house-made mini egg rolls, as well as ooey-gooey toffee cake from Liberty Tree Tavern. That's very good. That's not a bad deal, John. The original pre-fireworks dessert party will continue to be offered, but we'll see a price increase from May 28th. I don't know. They'll never catch me at one of these, but the toffee cake from ooey gooey toffee cake at the Liberty Tree Tavern is very good.
Well, it's interesting to see more a couple of savory items instead of just desserts, because I know some people, you know, I mean, I like a piece of cheesecake or a tiramisu, but that's about it. And so it's nice to have an option of more savory foods than just sweets. So.
Yeah, eat a couple egg rolls, then have a dessert.
Yeah, and spinach dip and stuff like that. So.
But I don't know, dude. These parties, $69. I'll go over to the Boardwalk Bakery, grab myself a couple items, walk out for $20, and watch Illuminations for free from out there.
There you go.
Or you know what I'm saying? Or go to France and watch Illumination. Or go to Main Street. I mean, I just don't get the $69. I mean, that's a lot of money for how much sweets can you eat?
Yeah, and if you got a family of four, you're spending $280. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, $69. That's a steep price for a couple of egg rolls and crap. I get egg rolls for $2 at my local Chinese restaurant down the street.
Yep.
I don't know. Yeah, it's just a little too pricey for me. Here you go, John. Opening date set for the Wine Bar George. You want to read that one?
Yeah, sure. Let's see. Wine Bar George will open doors Saturday, May 19th that was yesterday.
Yeah.
That's yesterday. So they opened yesterday. From May 20th, daily service hours will be 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Reservations for Wine Bar George will be available starting May 25th. You can start making the reservations on May 25th, and you can start making them for June 25th and after. Walk-ups will be welcome until then. Also opening on May 19th is The Basket at Wine Bar George, a new quick-service window that offers European-style sandwiches, cheese, olives, hummus, charcuterie, cookies, and wines on tap. Served to go by the glass or carafe. Wine Bar George is on the Disney Dining Plan as a table service meal, and The Basket at Wine Bar George as a quick service meal. A 10% discount is available to AP holders and DVC members. As one of only 249 worldwide industry professionals certified by the Court of Master Sommeliers, George Melotes will feature wines from acclaimed and well-known wineries, as well as growing regions and wineries that are up and coming. Location will offer an unparalleled wine list, including more than 130 selections by the ounce, glass, and bottle. So,
I don't see you headed there. I think it looks nice, the bar and all, but I don't see you headed there anytime soon.
I don't see myself. I see myself walking by and looking at it, and that'd be about it. So, yeah, I mean, if I would love to have seen. I was talking about this with somebody else. The beer place at Hollywood Studios, the Tap House. I would have much preferred to see that with a concentration of Florida beer. I mean, there's a lot of great Florida craft beer out here. So I know they're going with the California theme over there at Hollywood Studios and stuff. But still, I'd love to see something at Disney Springs that just has craft beers from Florida, since they really do have the Central Florida theme there now. So,
yeah, told you, I agree with you. I would like to see them, even like I said a million times, I'd like to see something built at the Boardwalk.
Yeah.
I love Big River Brewing Company, but it's not. There needs to be an outside presence there more. Like when you're we're repeating ourselves, but the area I set with Dennis and all that outside seating and all, it's very, very nice. But I think something needs to be more along the water's edge, where it's more of a lounge-type atmosphere. Sitting out there isn't an area where you feel comfortable, like, and I don't even say getting drunk or whatever, but you're not going to just sit there and continue just order beers sitting out there. You feel like you're holding somebody up.
Yeah.
You're done eating your meal. You want to move on. You're not just going to sit there and have with your friends. I know I wouldn't have 3-4 beers just hanging out after my meal. You know what I mean? There needs to be a place where you could just hang out more. And none of the bar over at the Otten Beach Club is nice, but there's not enough there to make it a major hangout. Enough seating.
No, I'd love to see something either right on the water or to build build out, maybe on the second story of the boardwalk or something like that, where you weren't just in the middle of the sidewalk. I don't know, the outdoor seating for Big River, like you're talking about, it almost feels like you're on display because there's people walking right in front of you all the time. So, yeah,
you're right. It's a weird setup where you're sitting there. Like, me and Dennis enjoyed ourselves because it was crowded that day because food and wine. We left. We were going to eat at Spice Road Tables, and we decided to leave and head to the boardwalk area. We checked that new Abracadabra bar out, which, what did I say after I went there, John?
They need food.
What ended up happening, John?
Hey, go figure. They put food in.
Yeah, I mean, I really need to sit back one day and figure out all the things I was right about, and we should just do a show on that. Not that I want to brag or anything.
it's called the I Was Right Show by Doug.
Exactly. And, I'm very humble, John. I don't like to brag or anything like that.
You don't want to toot your own horn.
Never, ever, ever. But, you know, maybe they ought to move security away from the front of the Magic Kingdom. Yeah, oh, go figure. They had the greatest idea. I mean, I don't know. But there needs to be a better area there to just drink at. You're right, John. Me and Dennis ended up leaving Spice Road Table. We went. We had a nice – I had a great meatloaf. I had a good time. The meatloaf isn't as good as Mom's at 50s prime time, but it's very good. And but you're right. We were sitting there. We had a beer. I was finishing my beer, and you feel like everybody's looking at your plate as they're walking by. It's weird how you feel. I don't know. You feel like you're shrunk down, and everybody's walking by as giants, look staring at you as you're sitting.
Always feel like I'm an animal in a zoo or something, and people are coming by to check out my feeding habits.
Yeah. Exactly. It's just I don't know. It's nice. I enjoy it, but there needs to be a place to hang out there, and it's beautiful there. Like, all the bars are inside there. It makes no sense, does it?
No, and I don't even think any of them have any. I mean, I understand the ESPN. It is what it is, but I don't know. You think about the ESPN club. I would love to see something with bleacher seats set up outside, where, like, for maybe the Super Bowl or the NBA playoffs and stuff like that, where they could set it up and you would have availability to, you know, seat maybe 200-300 people, and then that type of thing, where you could. A large crowd could gather to watch games and stuff, you know, and have that outside. So.
Yeah, or at least have, like, build out the side there, because you know there's room on the end there.
Yeah.
Maybe build, like, an outside lounge seating area where they could put TVs and stuff outside. And I don't know. I know they do the weddings and all there, so it'd probably be a little tacky with a bunch of people sitting at an outside bar there. Hey, congrats! Woohoo!
Cheers!
Yeah, but they need to have some kind of presence there. Next up, Johnny.
Yeah, it looks like we got some aerial views of the construction going on in Star Wars Galaxy Edge. That's really coming together. I mean, they're building some huge friggin' buildings for this place. So land is really taking shape as more and more of the facades are put in place, along with rock work and landscaping. So, yeah, if you haven't had a chance to take a look at the pictures, take a gander, because that place is going up and the buildings are really huge, and you can actually see, it looks like, where the some of the, I guess, build, or I don't know what I guess the facades of the fake planet, or not fake planet, but Galaxy's Edge planet, is going to be, and what they're going to kind of look like. So
yeah, there's a lot of scaffolding up, that's all I can tell you. There's a lot of a lot of exterior work going on. It means with those scaffolds being done like that, a lot of the steel work is done now, and all the outside exterior work's being done now. The facades are being put on. Like, that's going to be the height of it about there. You know what I'm saying? That's the height.
Yeah. Yeah, so. And that construction is, and then, you know, soon they're going to be done with Toy Story Land, so I'm hoping that any of the extra construction workers or whatever are heading right over to Star Wars Land to get this done. So.
Well, if you look in the back there, John, they're probably going to go right past Star Wars Land because they got the people they need there. And see where all that land's clear back there? They're probably going to start putting a hotel up.
Yeah. And get to work on that.
Yeah, because you can see the ground cleared for the hotel back there.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all excavated and ready to go. But, yeah, I think the heights are done of whatever the buildings are going to be now. Like, all the main steelwork's done, and now all the facades are going on, and you're going to start to – it's going to start really coming together now.
Well, let's hope they don't put something inside that they can't get to once it's done. So.
Yeah, because God knows who will bitch and moan about that.
I can't imagine.
So. Yeah, I still can't imagine that don't work, but it's crazy to me. What's next? Let's hear how they need more of our money, John.
Look at this. Themed Entertainment Association Global Attractions Attendance Report for 2017. The industry report provides a guide to theme park attendance worldwide, giving estimates of attendance change on year. Disney and most other large theme parks do not provide any official attendance figures, so this is only a estimate of the attendance. It probably comes as no surprise that Disney's Animal Kingdom saw a large attendance spike with the opening of Pandora, the World of Avatar. That land has pushed Animal Kingdom to be Walt Disney's second most visited park at Walt Disney World, with a 15% jump in attendance over 2016.
So they needed to raise the prices for us, John, so they could slow down attendance. That's what they're telling you they did that for. So thank you, Disney, for raising prices for us, because that's what they're doing, John. They're trying to keep us. They're trying to keep me and you out the riffraff, John. That's what they're trying to do.
They're trying to do that. And with that happening, and Hollywood Studios slipped to the fourth place now, and even that only had a point. I mean, with all the construction going on there, everything happening.
Nothing to do there.
They only lost 0.5% of attendance from the year before. That's kind of amazing. You had a 15% increase over here at Animal Kingdom, and you only lost 0.5% at Hollywood Studios.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, really. So, yeah, let's see, the top 10 parks for all of 2017. 10th place is Universal Orlando. 9th place is Hollywood Studios. 8th place, Shanghai Disneyland. 7th, Epcot. 6th, Animal Kingdom. So, man, 6th in all the freaking world is where I'm at right now. Tokyo Disney Sea is at number 5. Universal Studios Japan's at number 4. That's surprising to me. Tokyo Disneyland's at 3. Disneyland in California is number 2. And, of course, the big boy over there, Magic Kingdom, is number 1.
Yeah, they need our help, John. I mean, I still think all of us podcasters should get together, and I really do think we need to get on a GoFundMe page for the money they're losing. I feel bad for them, don't you, John?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they're practically broke. And it looks like, I guess because Universal opened a water park this year, Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach both saw a 5% and a 7% decline in their attendance. So, but I think that has to do with there's another brand new water park in town. So.
And I think the Animal Kingdom increase has taken away some of the – I think because of everybody going to Animal Kingdom so much on their vacation, you only have so much time, and I think the water parks are being slighted also.
Yeah, that would make more sense. I mean, rather than if you're here and you're going, I would imagine you probably, even with the lack of stuff to do at Hollywood Studios, you'd probably still go there rather than a water park if you've only got a certain amount of time.
Yeah, so I think that's what stopped it. There's so much going on in the parks now with Flower and Garden, Food and Wine, the food around the year. Go figure, they started something in the summer, John. Who said that?
Save it for the show. Save it for the Doug Was Right show.
Okay, I'm saying it. Is your Wi-Fi working good in the car, John, that they're giving you for free? Anyway, I'm shocked. I'm not shocked about this. I was just shocked Orlando's Universal Studios was 10th. I thought that would be a little higher. I thought it would be past Hollywood Studios, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but, I mean, 10th out of the entire world, I guess, isn't too bad. No, I was actually surprised with that Universal Japan is as popular as it is, but...
Yeah, both Shanghai Disneyland and Universal, they do very well over there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised we didn't see Busch Gardens or Great Adventure on here.
No, you're not going to see them.
I mean, dude, this is all I have to say. I trash Disney the whole nine yards. But if you go to the Great Adventure around us, dude, even when the trash cans are empty, they still stink to high heaven. It's like, I don't think they have took a pressure hose to them trash cans in probably since the park's been open. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, little things like that, John, is what drives you nuts about these other parks. That's where Disney, I do take my hat off to them. You never feel skeevoso when you're around the parks.
No, there's a there's actually a company over by my full-time job in South Orlando that I happen to get behind their trailer going back out to here to the parks every once in a while, and they've got a flatbed trailer that's just full of trash cans that they must what I think they must do is they pick them up here from the parks that and then they pressure wash them and repaint them because they're all brand new shiny when I see them. And so yeah, they definitely do a better job of cleanliness than any other park, except for maybe Universal. Universal works pretty hard at it too. So
And they should, and that's one of the things I always say. I could say in the 50 plus trips I've taken to Disney World, I've never smelled it. I've never walked by a trash can and even I've noticed the trash cans because the design of them, but I've never noticed one because it's been overflowing or stink.
No. I mean, working down there at on the trains, the custodial staff heads down there, I think. In my six-hour shift, I see them about six times. So about once every hour, they're coming down there to empty that trash can, or the trash cans. So
I don't know. I just commend them for that. I don't want to, you know, we complain when it's bad, but one thing I will say, they do very well on that. The only thing I will agree with our good friend Judith is that the bathrooms on the last trip, they're lacking lately. Disney bathrooms are lacking. I'm even thinking about, I usually don't do this, but I'm thinking about making a phone call down there to complain.
You wouldn't do it.
No,
oh,
I mean,
you
know,
complain?
No, I usually don't, but I'm seriously thinking about making a phone call. The last trip was, I've been meaning to do it, but I got sidetracked with this parking payments. But, you know, am I wrong, John? The bathrooms are lacking.
I don't know the couple I ran into yesterday. They were fine, but it was a slower day. I think a lot of it depends where you're at, what park you're at, and stuff like that. But, yeah, I think – and they go through cycles with the custodial staff. They end up with too many people, and then they cut back, and then all of a sudden there's not enough. And so, but, yeah, the one that is probably the worst that I've ever seen is the one in Fantasyland over there by Peter Pan's Flight. That one's always got super wet floors and toilet paper on the floor, and it's a mess. So.
Nasty, dude. Just nasty. I try to avoid – I go to the one most of the time by the plaza in the Magic Kingdom if I have to, but I try to avoid the Magic Kingdom bathrooms at all costs if I can.
Yeah, they're a lot more crowded than anywhere else. So.
Yeah, but the last trip, the ones that really got me, they're usually Immaculate or in Epcot in World Showcase. Two or three of them were pretty busted up. Paper on the floor, stuff like that. You're not used to seeing the old toilet paper stuck to the shoe going out the door trick. You know what I'm saying? At any of those parks, the wet paper towels on the floor. You're not used to seeing that at Epcot and anywhere in Disney World. I mean, I know that was a couple of them that happened to me on last trip.
Yeah, you know what? I probably don't notice it as much, especially at Epcot, because you know we kind of go there every once in a while. So we have our we would probably call our secret bathrooms where we go, and they're definitely the slower ones where you're not going to have that type of problem. So.
Yeah, I know the one right outside of Germany there. That one there gets trashed quite a bit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah, well, that one's busy because, I mean, imagine people in Germany drinking beer. So, yeah.
But anyway, no, I do say they're clean, but they need to pick up the slack on the bathrooms. But, and I don't want to go on this, but we were speaking of Judith. I also, why we were talking about her, and her son graduated this weekend from high school, so congratulations to Judith and Tommy. Congratulations on your boy graduating. You should be proud parents. I know you guys do a wonderful job, so congratulations.
Congratulations, guys. It's I'll be right there with you next week on Friday. So.
Okay, well, we have to congratulate the boy on the show, John.
Oh, we will.
So, what news story you got next, my friend?
Let's see. Oh, you want to cover the new Magic Kingdom vice president?
You can hit it real quick if you want. Do the Cliff Notes.
All right. It looks like Jason Kirk has been named Magic Kingdom vice president. Jason is approaching 20 years with the Walt Disney Company, most recently serving as vice president of transportation operations. that role. He oversaw the introduction to Disney's minivan service and the development of the Disney Skyliner. Dan Cockerell's last day as Magic Kingdom VP was May 11th. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of movement going on here. Two of the filmmakers that made Beauty and the Beast, they were with Disney for 30 some years, and they've been doing movies for Disney the last 20 years. They actually left Disney for Universal. So there's a lot of movement going on, and a lot of people leaving Disney. I don't know why. It said two producers responsible for Beauty and the Beast leave Disney for Universal. That's a kick in the pants, ain't it?
Yeah, that's what happened a couple of years ago when they started building Harry Potter Land, as they lost quite a few of the Imagineers to Universal. So, yeah, Universal will poach them people. So.
Yeah, David Haberman and Todd Lieberman, they both left Disney. The duo have been at Disney for 20 years under the First Look Pact. And they did Shaggy D.A., the Shaggy Dog, 8 Below, a couple of the Muppets movies, Beauty and the Beast, and a bunch of others. And they left. It says, working both as executives and producers for Disney for the last 32 years. So something put a bug in their butt to all of a sudden leave to go to the rival. It's kind of like if Carson Wentz got pissed off and went to the Cowboys. I wouldn't be too happy about that.
I can imagine not.
Yeah, I might blow a head gasket over here. But, you know, that's the way I look at that. I don't. Something is going on with all these executives leaving all of a sudden. They're going other places. It isn't like they're retiring.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, it's either the money or the benefits, or they're just not happy with the direction the company's going into.
Yeah, money is what I think it is.
Probably.
Don't have the family atmosphere it used to have, even though we're still addicted. And I was defending them the other day. There was something going on where people were talking about it being expensive, and I still had to defend them as far as I get PO'd because I see it as price gouging because I know it so much. And I know what I got to do to my clients and stuff like that, which makes me mad. But again, when you break it down, I mean, we're talking about things that are local. I'm working at Princeton the other day, and some of the guys in the room were talking about going up to see a show in New York and staying at the hotel there. And just to do a weekend to see two shows, it was going to cost them like $1,500. You know, two shows they were going to go see, the hotel room for two nights. You understand what I'm saying? And that's not counting food, John. So when you start to look at it that way, they aren't as expensive. If, like, you went to see The Lion King in New York, it probably cost you two bills a ticket per person. Would you say?
Yeah, definitely. And then if you're going to stay in the city on top of that. So.
And the food's not cheap. I mean, you're talking hoagies and sandwiches are $20 a pop up there. I mean, it's not cheap. So the point is, if you're going to, you know, if you pay for the day at Animal Kingdom for $100, what, $119, whatever the heck it is. Sorry, I don't know exactly because you got 57 different freaking prices for every park
exactly.
Now. So, you know, $119, $115, $112, who knows? $119, $99, who gives a crap? But $119, $115, but whatever, you get Lion King, you get the Tree of Life Awakened, you get, what is it, the River of Lights, you get all this stuff. So if you price it that way, it's still a bargain. But the bottom line is I get mad because I know what they used to give you. They're charging you more and giving us less. There used to be a lot more perks, and that's why I get so aggravated.
Yeah, I mean, Doug, just break it down to what you spent on the Phillies game last weekend.
So. Yeah, we took Mom to Mother's Day, and it whacked me pretty good.
Yes, I bet it did. So.
Sorry, it choked me up. I had to push the mute button. But yeah, the Phillies game. Did we talk about it on the show last week? We didn't. I did because we actually last week we recorded at night. But yeah, it was three bills for the Phillies game for four of us for 3 hours. So $100 an hour.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, when you break it down that way and you look at it, it going to Disney is not that bad. But I think if you compare it to other vacation destinations, so then maybe you're looking at the price difference. But it's just like, I don't know, a lot of it's like the cruise. I mean, the cruise is much more expensive than Royal Caribbean or Carnival or any of the other ones, but you get more out of it. So,
And you're also not coming home sick like most of the other boats.
Yeah, that's an important element too, isn't
it? Not singling any boat out, but I've touch on wood. I've never heard of a Disney cruise coming home with the whole with something really. You understand what I'm saying? Was the cleanliness of the boats? You know what I mean? They do a good job.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've heard they scour those ships when they come into port. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I'm just I get aggravated, I get mad at them, but I still love it, and I can't wait to go. But it's just I digress. But I just get aggravated. Two Disney Vacation Club member cruises sail to new destinations in 2019. Speaking of the cruises, John, I figured I'd segue into that. Did you hear about this?
No, I haven't heard of new destinations.
But these are two Disney Vacation Club member cruise sail to new destinations. In 2019, Disney Cruise Line ships will transform into memberships. Twice during the year, one charter voyage will depart each. I'm sorry, but the site's jumping around. One charter voyage will depart each U.S. coast and take a members cruise tradition to new places that hasn't been visited before. May 15th through May 20th, 2019, members and their parties will sail 5 nights aboard the Disney Wonder from San Diego, California, with stops in San Francisco and Victoria, British Columbia, before they disembark in Vancouver, British Columbia. From October 5th through October 12th, 2019, the Disney Magic will be a 7-night members cruise out of New York City with a port in Boston, 2 days visit to Bermuda before making a return to New York. That sounds really good.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, like previous member cruises, voyages, the sailing in 2019 will offer an enhanced Disney Cruise Line experience with broader lineups and special entertainment from Disney greatest storytellers, in-room gifts, and more. You can begin reserving your voyage starting June 23rd, John, 2018. In the meantime, visit dvcmembercruises.com for more information. If you're not a DVC member, but still are interested in booking a Disney Cruise Line vacation, be sure to reach out to our exclusive partner at blah, 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 who can assist you. So, yeah, contact me and John at American Tourist Travel if you want to book a Disney cruise. But, John, you interested in any of this? I wonder what they charge you. I wonder what the point breakdown would be. You should go check it out for us.
Yeah, I'll go see what it is. But, yeah, if I can ever do a cruise, I'm going to grab one off the cast member website because they're a fraction of what they charge. So it sounds like a lot of fun, but yeah, I'll take a look at how many points it would cost, but I'm pretty sure it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it probably is. The breakdown, like we've said, if you want to do a cruise, the Disney cruise, and you want to use your points, go to our friends over at David's Vacation Club Rentals and sell some of your points and use the money to buy the trip. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. The breakdown on using points for a cruise is not favorable. So.
Yeah, my buddy Scott did it one time, and he said never again. The reason he did it is because he owned so many points, it was worth it to him. Because he needed to get rid of some. But he said he would never do it again. He'd rather sell them at David's. He just didn't know. At the time, this is going back, we started the show. He didn't know how that all worked. And
yeah,
I think he's used David's since.
I don't think I'll ever have that point of having points that are just sitting there doing nothing. So I've got mine borrowed from like ever. So.
Well, where he was savvy, Scott, I do give him credit. Remember when things were not bad for DVC, but they weren't selling the way they should?
Yeah,
the prices were down. What he did is he bought 50 at the Wilderness Lodge, 50 at Saratoga. You understand what I'm saying? He bought points at all the different resorts. So this way he could have better booking options too, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So. Yeah, I mean, if we do ever get any more points, we're going to try to buy them off the resale market and just grab some at Boardwalk, and that would give us the opportunity to book there, you know, at that 11-month window. So.
Yeah, except for now, I think you got to look into it. They're changing that a little bit too to stop that. They don't want to give you any advantages. I think aftermarket sales they're taking some of the perks away from you, John. So pay attention to that.
Oh, absolutely.
You want to read the next one? You want to read the Ratatouille?
Sure. It looks like got more pictures up from the Ratatouille construction over in France. They have an image of the Ratatouille construction site at Epcot's France Pavilion. You can see all the steel works up there, too. Since going vertical less than a month ago, a lot of progress has been made on the steel structure of the main ride building. And ride based on the popular attraction found at Disneyland Paris is still some way off from its Walt Disney World debut, with current estimates of spring 2020 opening. So, a full 2 years away, almost.
Yeah, as old as we're getting, John, that'll seem like a couple weeks.
Yeah, the time goes quick as you age, doesn't it?
Oh, my God, does it. It's like a blink of an eye. I remember my parents used to tell me that, and I used to look at them like, listen, old people, leave me alone. Now I'm that old, I'm the old people, you know what I'm saying? And time is flying.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and now at mid-40s, now I'm thinking back at my first 20 years of life, it seems like it dragged on forever. It took forever to get through high school and all that stuff, and then the last 20, it seems like I woke up yesterday, you know? So it's amazing.
Do you remember how long summer break used to seem, John?
yes, I do.
Even though I used to work with my uncle, I worked all summer, but my goodness, summer seemed like it took forever. Like, we were down there, we were doing so much, and I think it's because you didn't, I think now you think so far in advance that it makes stuff go by quicker. It's hard to explain because you're always not, you're never in the moment. When you're a kid, you're always in the moment.
You're worried about what's happening right in front of you, and that's it. So.
Exactly. You're not planning on cousin Joey's this and that. I got to get this done. The house. Oh my God, I got to get the house redone before the summer's over. Like, everything's always a stress. When you're a kid, it's like, oh, so are we going to get the beer ball, or are we going to get a case tonight, and where are we going to go sit? And do you remember going, you go, like, because we used to have these areas where we had streams and parks that we used to hang out, like, it's kind of like a campground area where we hung out, and I remember just sitting at the fire all night, and those nights seemed like they took forever. Now it seems like the days go by in a blink of an eye.
Yep, you're correct.
Vacations. I mean, it's going on 2 months, almost 2 months since I've been down to Disney. I mean, holy moly. But I don't know. I just know me and Brenda can't wait for Ratatouille. That'll be here before we know it, is the point I was trying to make. Back on the Disney Cruise Line, I just wanted to mention is there's a new Baja Mexican Riviera voyage from California. Sorry, guys, I had to mute again. It's a new voyage. They're going through Baja, Mexico from San Diego, which looks pretty cool. There's some new itinerary. Vacations to the Bahamas and the Caribbean from Texas is new, beginning in 2019. Tropical Escapes from Florida, the Disney Magical Return to Miami in 2019, with a diverse lineup of cruises to the Bahamas and the Caribbean. The Disney Dream and Disney Fantasy will continue sailing guests from favorite itineraries out of Port Canaveral. So there's a check in with us or check on the Disney Cruise Line site. They added a lot of itinerary for 2019. I meant to add that before we skipped on to the Ratatouille ride, but anyway, we all have to do a Disney cruise and relax. We're getting old, John.
Yeah, it would be nice. I'm just a little leery of going on a cruise. I'm afraid I'd get bored, but it would be nice to be out to sea and not have to work like I did on my last cruises. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, Mr. Seaman John. If I was on the boat with you, I'd put you to work. I'd go to the first mate and ask him, is there something you can give John to do?
Yeah, he needs to give him that needle gun and get him to work on that bulkhead over there. So.
Oh, there's the Star Wars stories here, but the other night, and I don't know, Star Wars fans will get mad at me, but it was actually last night. I was laying in bed flipping through the channels, and Star Wars, what is it, Revenge of the Clones, or what was it called?
Well, which one? I mean, you got Return of the Jedi, you've got Revenge of the...
I think it was Revenge of the Clones. It was the one with Natalie Portman and Hayden Christian in it.
Yeah, that's probably part two you're thinking about. Is it part two or three you're thinking about?
I don't know. They're all in the middle of a circle with their lightsabers, like 10 of them, and they're defending like 1,000 people. And Samuel Jackson's in it. I'm sitting here, dude, that is the worst Star Wars, I think, of all of them.
Attack of the Clones.
My goodness, dude. I was sitting here, I thought it was a comedy. watching it. I mean, you got R2-D2 shooting a suction cup on CP3O's head and dragging his head across the dirt. You remember that scene?
Yeah. They always have cornball theme.
Oh, but
like that
whole movie, dude. Is that one of your favorites or no?
No, my favorites are 4, 5, and 6. So, I mean, that's just about everybody's favorites. So. But, I tell you what, all of those are better than the last one I saw. The Force Awakens was not my favorite one. It had some quirky points in it. So.
Yeah, I liked the one before that one. It was okay, but this one, I was watching that again last night, because I seen them all, but I was just watching that laying there, and they were doing that sequence. Well, Natalie Portman's wielding that lightsaber. Like, one of the guys come up with, like, a machine gun cannon on his arm, and she's it looks so corny. I was like, I said, this is fun. This is one of the funniest comedies I've seen in years. Watching that, and they're yelling at the guy. It was just, and then all of a sudden, Yoda comes and saves the day. It was bad, John. But anyway, Star Wars Galaxy Edge teaser to be shown. They did this a couple days ago. Did you see this or see any reviews on it, John?
No, I haven't seen it. So.
It was the teaser to be shown at upcoming Star Wars Galactic Nights. You going to go to any of the Galactic Nights, John?
No. I think just about everything there I can get done for regular admission at the parks. So I'm not. I mean, other than some of the unique characters that you might run into and stuff like that, Doug, that's all that is a realizing of how popular their Star Wars weekends were back in the day and figuring out a way to charge people for it.
Absolutely.
It used to be free. That's all that is. So.
But anyway, Disney will be at your very upset and tense about it. I'll read it. Disney will once again be teasing a few more details about the upcoming Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at the upcoming Star Wars Galactic Nights. The ticketing event at Disney Hollywood Studios will feature a panel of discussion hosted by actors David Collins with Imagineer Scott Trawbridge, Eric Baker, John Georges? And Margaret Kirsten, along with a construction update. The panel will provide more details about the Planet Batuu and other surprises. You excited, John?
I'm excited for it to open up, but I don't need to go to all these panels and stuff. So,
John, fan favorites, Star Wars actors Warwick Davis will return as the official Galactic Knights event host. Join Warwick at various appearances throughout the night, including a special introduction to Star Wars Galaxy Edge panel. More details about Star Wars Galactic Night tickets. So they're going to be dropping more details, but you're going to pay for them to tell you about the park.
You're going to pay for them to tell you about something that you're going to have to pay a whole lot of money to go visit. So
I don't know, dude. They're the first people that learn how to charge for their news.
Well, they have lots of events every year where you pay to buy stuff. You know, you pay for the chance to purchase exclusive merchandise. So
not
this
guy.
It's amazing when you think about it.
Not this guy. We read about this last week. The new signature table service restaurant confirmed for Epcot's Japan Pavilion. You excited about this, John?
Yeah, it sounds interesting. And I'm just thinking, boy, that really puts Japan out there as the leader in culinary destination, because they're gonna have three table service restaurants and I guess you'd call it one and a half counter services, because that one down at the bottom serves a little bit of food too. So
now, did you see this, John? Lucasfilm president teases Lando Calrissian Star Wars spinoff.
No, that's interesting. So, I'd be excited to see a Lando movie.
Yeah, they're saying that's, I guess, some people, you're looking to see Solo. I mean, they said people were criticizing it, and it got like a 78% approval rating. It's like, people just love to complain. Not that I do, John, but just people love to complain, don't they?
Yeah, and it's a shame, because some people criticize it, and then everybody will take that. Instead of, you know, giving it a chance, they'll go ahead and say, well, these people are critiquing it before it's even out. Must suck. And I don't know. Part of the problem is everybody's having an issue seeing anybody but Harrison Ford play Han Solo. But, I mean, as we move on, somebody else is going to have to take the role. So.
Yeah, people get very, very picky with their Star Wars. Donald Glover's character Lando Calrissian might be getting his own standalone movie following the release of Solo, a Star Wars story. In an interview with Premiere France and translated blah, 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 at Cannes Film Festival, Premiere Solo, Lucasfilm President Kathleen Kennedy teased that a movie of Lando is currently being planned. So that sounds pretty good. There's a bunch more here. If you want to read about it, go online and read about it. But I think that I like the idea of them developing the characters.
Yeah, yeah. I'm waiting for the Boba Fett one is what I want. Boba Fett is always my favorite character, so I'll be interested to see how that turns out. And that way, that one, they really can't – well, I mean, he was in Attack of the Clones, but they really can't criticize a different actor playing him because he was in the armor most of the time, so –
I'm excited. Did you hear about this too, John? Guest relation testing, remote location at transportation and ticket center.
No, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it to pop up now, John. It just disappeared. There we go. For a limited time, guest relation services will be available to guests at the transportation and ticket center. For the sake of a convenience and will be easily visible, guest relation uses Windows 3 in the central area of the vacation planning booth. The window will be open daily from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., better assisting guests with actual guest relation questions than waiting at the main entrance of the park, which often backs up in the morning of ticket purchase. Hello, thank you. I mean, we've said this before, John. They need to do more of the prequel stuff away from the entrance of the park. Like, spread it out. You know, I mean, you shouldn't – I mean, they should have done this years ago, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right.
No, I am right, John.
Yeah, not probably, huh? Excuse me.
Yeah, forget the probable, buddy. No, but I do like the idea of this. This way, you could get all your questions out of the way, and you're not clogging up the line at the front of the park.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, because there's so many – that happens so much, it gets bottlenecked there with people asking questions that would be better served over to the side. So,
yeah, just like with the bag check. It was so nice. The last trip, I told you, we went to the Wave, right? And we loved our meal, the lobsters Benedict. I mean, no, the crab Benedict, the Floridian Benedict. Oh, my goodness, John, let's go. I can't. Next trip, it's one of the first things I'm booking. Telling you that right now. The Wave for breakfast is one of my first bookings. But anyway, it was so nice. We went through bag check at the Contemporary, John. Go figure. It took 2 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and correct. And then when I got off the monorail and got to the park, I walked right in, John. I mean, wasn't that an amazing idea?
You know, some, I guess, very smart podcaster came up with that. They must have listened to it and came and realized it was a good idea. There.
I just don't know what took them so long to figure that one out, dude. It did make such a difference, though. It really did. It was nice. Like, we didn't felt like, because I feel like with my camera back, I feel like I'm holding everybody up sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, but, I mean, everybody has it, so what are you going to do? So.
No, it just, you know, when especially when you're with three girls and they all have purses, you know. Except for my wife, she has everything goes in the camera bag. She's good about that. In the morning, she hands me everything to put in the camera bag. All her makeup, everything she's going to need goes right in there. So she don't usually have a purse. So I was lying about that. I'm just seeing if there's anything else here, John. Do you have anything else you want to talk about in the parks?
Let's see. Yesterday was I told you I met up with a guy from the Grim Grinning Guys, and then at the end of the day, I know you hate the mobile ordering, but Jim Tucker hooked me up again at over there in Pandora. He bought me a beer and a cheeseburger pod, so I got to try the cheeseburger pod finally from the Santui Canteen, and actually it's really good.
One of the things I didn't get. Jim, we love you. Thank you for all you do. We all kidding aside, we really appreciate how you tweet the show out. You're always one of the first to mention our episodes, and thank you for taking care of our buddy John. And all kidding aside, I do think that's a beautiful thing that he does do that for you, and he does it for his kids and stuff like that. I think that's awesome that you could do that. I just don't like the mobile ordering as far as the way it with the, in the parks, if you understand. I like the idea that you could be a part and spice up somebody's vacation, but I don't like the idea of doing it all the time. So, but thank you, John, and that's, I mean, Jim, and for taking care of John, because I would never buy him a meal.
Yeah, no, that was I had sent him some of the 20th anniversary stuff, so he appreciated it, so he's just showing his appreciation for me, so it worked out really great. So it was a good time, and that was the first time I tried the cheeseburger pods. I had tried the make your own bowl before. Those are good, so the pods were good. So yeah, I think Santui Canteen might be one of my favorite quick service locations.
Yeah, I know the guys over at, I think it's Chuck, but I could be wrong, over at the Mickey Dudes. It's one of his favorite places. So one of the guys, one of them over there, love it there. And I haven't heard Benny anything bad about it, except for the beer, the green beer or whatever, the colored beer. That's the only negative thing I've heard.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I would stay away from the green one. Get the High Country Ale, and you'll be set. So
I'll stay away from the ale. I'll go get myself a Safari Lager, and I'll be happy, or a Tagger Lager over at the Nomad Lounge, and I'll be a happy kid. But, no, I that was one of the disappointments in the last trip. I did want to go over and try the canteen, and I didn't get a chance to. It was one of the things that, with losing a day and a half, got cut from the trip. So next trip, it gives me something to look forward to. Another quick thing I want to report is first responders rates available for Disney Springs Resort area hotels. So if you're one of the first responders and you want to go down to Disney World, check some of the resorts at down Disney Springs. They're offering discounts for first responders. I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I don't think, much like the military, I don't think they get enough benefits and stuff. So it's good to see some of the Disney area trying to show their respect and thank the first responders. So,
but anyway, you got to go over to that park that has surpassed Epcot for the first time ever in history for attendance. You got to head over to work, don't you, John?
I'm heading that way. I'm going to go drive the train for a couple hours. So, yeah, well, and hopefully get a kid up front or two. So,
have a good time. Sorry, guys, for the other Under the Weather show, there's been things I wanted to talk about. I've been working outside at the Hard Rock Hotel, and I think this is a cold / allergies has got me tore up, but working outside yesterday in the rain, I don't think helped me. So I wanted to get a show in. I thought about not doing it, but we've been so busy with John's schedule, we haven't been able to do our weekday show lately, which we're going to starting that back up very shortly. So I apologize for only one show a week. For the few people that do care about us putting out two a week, we apologize, but hopefully next week we're back in full steam ahead. We're going to do a show with Sean from the Tiki Talk for Memorial Day weekend. I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully we're all back feeling good, John.
Yeah, that would be nice, and get back to some normal work hours.
So. And hopefully you can get the day off next Sunday, John.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. I'm working on 13th day in a row right now, and I've got 14 more scheduled ahead of me. So
sorry, Johnny. But anyway, if you want to check out the Cheery John, head over to the train. Tell them how they can find you, John.
Hey, over on Twitter, look me up at Beer Solo. Facebook, send me a friend request to John Peters. And the best way is to run into me over at the trains at Animal Kingdom. Come by and say Jumbo.
And you can find me at Good Old Grumpy 67. You can find the whole crew at WDW Main Street on Twitter and on Facebook. Please, guys, everybody be kind to one another. If you guys could, head over to our sponsors and check them out. See our friends at David's Vacation Club Rentals to book your next trip, or Elite Vacation Homes. They always do a wonderful job. Their houses are beautiful. And if you could head over to iTunes and leave us a review, we'd really, really appreciate it. And John, you're going to be hopping on a scooter from our Scooter Lano sponsors. We're looking forward to hearing about the wonderful scooter that they gave you guys for this next trip.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Lisa's going to be using one of their scooters, so I'm sure that we certainly appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll have nothing but good things to say about it when we get back. So.
Yeah, we got to get Joe Allen on the show, because they also do like kind of the bippity-boppity. They have their own little princess thing that they can come out and do for you. So we want to get her on the show so she can talk about it. So Anyway, everybody be kind to one another. Go check out our sponsors over at our website at It's All in WDW, and we will talk to you soon. Say goodbye, John.
Goodbye, folks. Have a good week.
Bye-bye. Well, that's it, guys. It's last call here at the pub. We're going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and head on out of here. But before we go, let me tell you about two of our other fine sponsors. American Tourist Travel. If you need a Disney vacation booked, contact us at American Tourist Travel at americantouristravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. Well, that's going to be it, guys. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a very safe and happy week. Bye-bye.